Hiya.
Hi.
Well, it's about time we had an auditorium.
Got some historical to talk to you about. Doesn't particularly mean that the, lecture quality will be historical. But the data is. Let's go way back. 1950, 1949, 1948. 1948 was 4 year time, any of yous. Because in that time I was being covert. I was a guy who was working on the field of the mine because I had discovered with an enormous shock that a lot of boys hadn't been on the ball. I don't think I'll ever completely recover from an utter disgust and the recognition that a bunch of birds were sitting around on their very fat fannies pretending that they were the vested interest of the human mind. When I, as an engineer, went over and said, I got to know a couple of minor things. How much memory is stored in the mind, and how is it stored? And what is the usual duration of memory? And they said, you're the engineering school. Get the hell out of here. What do you mean coming in here and asking us questions like this? We know all about this, sure. But you'd have to study psychology. So you know what I did? I went and cracked their textbooks and started taking examinations for the boys who couldn't pass them in the psychology class. Love it. All right, that initial disgust was maybe a very good thing. Because it demonstrated to me that man hadn't cracked his biggest riddle himself. And it didn't matter how many paunched, bald, pompous nincompoops sat in college chairs, to state it mildly. The human mind was so far from a solved riddle that nobody in this society could say whether a man was sane or insane, whether a man was competent or incompetent, whether a man could be trusted with a plane or a car or a bomb. And brother, you think of somebody standing there looking into a big hole. That was me. Big hole. We've been trying to fill it up ever since. All right. Let's go right back to this thing called memory. How is memory stored? What is it? In what shape and form is it? It's in two forms. Simply knowing what's going to happen and what has happened. Just knowing this. Memory and forecast. Same thing, except one's that away and the other's that away. And it's done by pictures. And there's a picture of anything and everything that's ever happened. And as long as there's a body, there's going to be a picture of everything that will happen, and that doesn't matter whether the individual was 5 fathoms deep under sodium pentothal or ether or laughing gas. This doesn't matter. Still there. Still recorded. Even if it were recorded as a block of unconsciousness, it's still recorded as a picture. And it's also recorded as knowingness. Therefore, it's recorded in two forms, apparently. But this is the apparency of it. It's recorded in two forms. Actually, it's only recorded in one form. Plus a gimmick that makes a picture to prove it to you. You see that? You really don't have a set of cameras all the time, you know, going on and on and on. What you do have, however, is a machine set up that instantly puts into place the picture that should have been taken at the time. You see, Dianetics, Modern Science, and Mental Health. All right, you should know that book. One thing that we can add to that material is that there is no card file over here like the ENIAC or UNIVAC or Son of a Mac. There isn't any. No card file. There isn't any place around the individual, any point or any location where there is a whole folio full of pictures. No such bin. It's an interesting fact, isn't it? You know you got an engram. You know you got lots of engrams. And you figure these things must be somewhere. Well, I tell you, they aren't anywhere. And that's the big joke, see? And that's what drives you mad. You look for them, you know, and they're not there. And then you don't look for them, and there they are. All right. So we think that the optimum situation with regard to the mind, the way an engineer would look at it, and the way I did look at it originally, was that everybody had a sort of a suitcase. See, we never put our hands on the suitcase, but everybody had this suitcase. And it was full of engrams and facsimiles and locks and secondaries and so forth. You know, he kind of packed this around. And some gentleman, we knew not quite whom, but whom we called the file clerk, would open up the suitcase when you thought a thought and would look through and say, there's that damn picture now. You think another thought, and you reach in the suitcase and give you another picture. Funny part of it is, the little man was apparently there. You would say, a phrase will now flash, and you had it, see? Well, that was interesting. That was very, very interesting. The little man was apparently furnishing material. Well, that was the way an engineer would look at it, which is a logical, sensible way to look at it. Until we know what the devil we do have there, well, let's just assume that we have something that looks like something we know about, which is the memory bank of an ENIAC. You know, pictures, and you got a little robot or a gremlin or something that hands them to you. That is the apparency of the thing. And looking at it that way, you have a very workable picture of this picture. See, it's translatable. I tell you about it in this fashion, and then you say, well, that's easy to understand. Everybody's got a little man called file clerk, and he's got all kinds of pictures, which are locks, secondaries, and all kinds of things, and he's got all these pictures, and the little file clerk, he watches him all the time, see, to see what he's thinking. And he thinks something, and the second he knows, the file clerk knows what the guy has thought, he goes, zoom, see, grabs the picture and goes to him. And those guys that don't get pictures got a busted file clerk. Well, that's real simple, isn't it? Huh? Real simple. Actually, the person who doesn't get pictures doesn't have a busted file clerk. You know what he has? He has a machine, another guy that throws out blackness. And the way this guy makes nothing out of the pictures is to make blackness. So he actually got a second personality. He got the file clerk, guy bird-dogged with vacancy, and says, does he what he's thinking now? Ah, that's what he's thinking. We got another guy over here that sees this swish, see? He sees the flurry, and he stands here and he says, black ink. Get out of that with me. Well, actually, as far as workability is concerned and relaying and translating this information to you, that's what happens. That's what happens. That's occlusion. Now, you might have another little guy back here that wipes it out. Curious. Very, very curious. But actually, so I have to tell you about today, there is no suitcase full of pictures. None. That's a hell of a note, isn't it? No suitcase. No bank. No reactive bank. No big, long card catalog saying this is when he was 3, this was when he was 4, this is his birthdays. No such files. Fantastic. If there's no file, where the devil do the pictures come from? Well, as nearly as I know at this time, the pictures are mocked up by the file clerk. And what if he's lost the power to unmock them? Then he gets this friend of his to squirt him with blackness. Or this other pal of his to saw him down. Who do these pictures belong to? Well, I'll tell you a sad and lugubrious fact. They are the bodies. They belong to the body. And the body has many ways of serving itself. There's something at times it's heart, and there's something at times it's breathing, and there's something that does this and something that does that. And there's also something, a livingness, which pulls up, apparently, pictures, but which really mocks them up. Now, there's a lot of somethingnesses. In other words, there are machines, 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 machines. Tons of machines around the body. And every one of these machines is simply a livingness. It is more or less the same category of Thetan as a Thetan. Isn't that curious? So you've got this body as a mock-up of a whole bunch of Thetans. It's haunted. Oddly enough, the body also has things around it which mock up all kinds of other things, hallucinatory pictures. Lots of these. Sometimes you'll find a body will have something around that'll keep mocking up a demon body. You see? And guy will all of a sudden start to fight demons. Well, there's something over here mocking up a demon. You know, look, if you can mock up an ice cream freezer, you might as well be able to mock up a demon. You get the idea. Same breed of cat, except we're supposed to be afraid of demons. All right, now, this super populated area called a body is an amazing, amazing thing. Absolutely confounding. Because to be there at all, it has to have something that will tell something else a lie all the time. But it also has to have something there to tell the truth so somebody can lie about it. You got this now? Let's look at the body as a, quote, populated area that has no mass, no pictures, but has a lot of qualities. And the chiefest of these qualities is that something truthfully mocks up some space, and there's your GE anchor points and all that sort of thing, and something else tells a lie about who owns the space. Something mocks up the body, and somebody else tells a lie about who mocked it up. And that is going on all the time. There is no persistence. The lie has to be continual. This is a very curious thing. So you're not dealing with large slabs of pictures. You're dealing with livingnesses. Now you know that you can make a Thetan. That's an oddity. You can. A Thetan, in pretty good shape, can duplicate himself. And the way he duplicates himself is very simple. He says, I'm over there, you know. And he says, now you, he says to that thing which is now over there, are a separate individuality. And I don't have any particular control over you, but you do have certain limits. So he's here and he's there too. See how this would be. All right, this is very simple. Very simple. A livingness which mocks and unmocks even time. A livingness which mocks and unmocks even time. Now this is the most fantastically complex thing to look at. I wouldn't wonder if your jaws dropped and you felt kind of going zing. Because it's terribly complex. Numerically. Functionally, it is terribly simple. You've got something here saying the truth, and something here calling it a lie. In other words, something here says ownership, And this over here changes the ownership, and then you have something in the body itself, see, which looks at it and recognizes an actuality. Three steps. Mark up, misassignment of truth, observation. And that's an engram. It's marked up, somebody says somebody else owns it, and so the observer looks at it. Only who's the observer? You are. Without you driving it, a body gets nowhere. But there's something very funny about all this, is the body mocks up pictures which are copies of the physical universe. In other words, whatever is doing this mock-up and misownership is really impressed with the fact that it is copying the physical universe. It copies the physical universe, and it can go a step further than that. Having copied it, can now pervert the mock-up so it wasn't really a copy. But beyond that, it does not go. There isn't any real origin where the body is concerned. You're getting continuous copying. Continuous copying. Now, you come along, and you start running this thing, you start looking at its pictures, and you start looking at it. It, by the way, is a composite of these pictures. You know, it's something mocks it up, and the other thing says it belongs to somebody else, and so you got it. It's just as simple as that. You come along, you look at this, and you say, my pictures. Of course, this makes them good and solid. Now, having said my pictures, you might go on further. You might say, I don't want to look at these damn pictures of mine. I don't want to look at these darn pictures. They confuse me. So what do you do? In addition to the fact that the body may have one of these black ink squirt guns, you mock one up, too. Now we got two of them going. See this? We got two squirt guns going. Now, after a while, if a Thetan got batty enough as an observer, you see, he is a free individual. He is not actually natively a part of this thing called the body, this collection of life units, which is the body. He's not initially part of that. And as long as he's in control of it, he really isn't part of it. But if he were to really skid badly, he'd get down there and start making copies of the physical universe, too, as an obsessive function. He's getting himself all set up to be one of these set unknown, I don't know what my right hand is doing because my left hand is in a glove, propositions, you see. And he could go right on along the line and sooner or later make a body. He could even go down to the Catholic Church and if there are any Catholics present, I don't mean to step on the Catholic Church just now. They have a spike over on the Vatican, I think, to keep that from happening. But they'll need a lightning rod if I keep running into preclears loused up by religion. They'll need a good, strong lightning rod. Anyhow, you know, it'd be so simple with the material which I'm giving you right here to have a man get a vision. That nobody's safe. All right. Now, you come along and you start making mock-ups. And here is an oddity. The mock-ups which you make can be copied by the body machinery. So in addition to your own set of mock-ups which you made, they're copies by the body machinery, and you go on and you say, I just thought I told that mock-up to go away. And there it stands. You see, there was a mock-up of yours, but then the body made a mock-up of it. You lost your mock-up. And then the body mock-up stayed there because you misowned it. See, you said, my mock-up. And what it was the body copying your mock-up. It's
So you've still got a persistent mock-up. And you say, oh, I've lost all my power. I'm not powerful anymore. I can't make energy go away. I guess I might as well join this gay throng. Maybe if I work hard and I'm a good boy, they will permit me to keep mocking up part of the nose. Or misowning one ear. I'm an ear misowner now. Well, the body will go on having an ear. All this may seem rather incomprehensible to you, but it's not. Once you take it apart. The funny part of it is that the mass involved is misownership. And if you can see it, you don't own it. If you have a lag in seeing it, that is to say, you've miscalled its ownership. And if you have a lag in seeing it, if you see it for a minute and then it's gone, why, there's some other function going on which is miscalling it for just a minute and then right calling it, see? And then it would go away. To depend, however, on some other life unit or livingness to decide who owns what and decide to present you with what is a rather fatal occupation for a thing. You should be able to see things. You should be able to handle this whole thing yourself. You should be able to turn off ownership and turn it on again at will. You should be able to misown or rightly own at a fast rate without disturbing you any. Why would it disturb you that you had to put a lie into something so you could see it? Why would it disturb you? Because you are well educated that you mustn't lie. If you can't lie at all, you will never have anything. If you cannot tolerate a lie, if you can't tolerate a lie, then you're liable to have everything you don't want. Because as we look at the body, we discover that just to be there, to have pictures and so forth, something has to miscall what did it. Hence, the body has machinery, see, just like anything else has machinery. All right. In addition to this body machinery, we have Thetan machinery. That is, you have machines too. Here's another set of machines. But what are these machines? These machines are livingnesses which you have probably made or captured. See, livingnesses. You probably made these livingnesses. But they have an other individuality. And this other individuality is in service to you as a postulator, an observer. And so, he's very cute. We'll see people. We'll say, all right, now mock up a red dog. And you say, all right, now get the idea that you own it. And I say, yes, I can own him. And you say, is it still there? Well, of course. And you say, well, how'd it go away? The fellow says, yeah, it went away. All right, that's all right. That's just all machines in operation, you see. All right, now let's go at it differently. You say, all right, mock up a red dog. He does. You say, now have it go away. And he's still got a red dog, only pretty soon it becomes a blue dog. Then it becomes a green dog, and then it starts to bark at him. Here's black magic. He didn't make the dog. You said to him, you mock up a dog. He did not mock up a dog. Machine. Dog. Also, your dog. See? Machine has to be up here and say, you just mocked up a dog. Get the idea? All right, that's what has to occur. Now you tell the fellow, all right? Now, let's see. He's had the dogs turning blue, pink, and purple, and you say, all right, let's have that dog go away now.
Well, says so.
You say, well, get the idea that you own this dog and that you made this mock-up. You know, you own the mock-up, the dog, you made it, it's yours, get the idea. You say, what's happening? It's turned into an elephant, he says. He says, this is very confusing. All right, you say, get the idea that a remote viewpoint machine made it for you. And phew, gone. Oh, wait a minute, he said. All my life I get pictures and then I can't do anything about them. And I used to have a horrible picture of a ghost that stood right over here and I never dared tell anybody about it. You know, just to cap the folly. Never dared tell anybody about the picture of this ghost, but it used to stand over there and it used to gibber at me. And then I used to have a little man over here who used to criticize me all the time. You know, you aren't so good, he'd say, and so on. That's the first time I ever got rid of anything. And you say, well, get the idea that your father owned that ghost. Father didn't own the ghost. Here it is. And he says, no, I don't want anything to do with this ghost. No. You say, oh, come now. Get the idea your mother owned it. It's getting awful solid. See, you're calling the misownership of it. And you say, all right, get the idea you made it. Where'd he go? He himself, A. Thaden, made that ghost in the first place. And then he said, look how I'm being victimized. Somebody else made that ghost. And so, of course, it never disappeared because it was misowned. The little man that sat over here and gibbered all the time. You say, I hate that guy. I can't imagine whoever thought up that little man. That little man is making life a complete burden to me. Ever since I heard that fairy tale about the good fairy and the goblin, I've had that thing, see? I know where it came from. I know what mocked this thing up. We straight wire him and he remembers this, and Eugene Fields or somebody, you know. And you say, well, all right, we'll get the idea that the book owned it. It dims down, brightens up. And get the idea that that your cat owned it. Oh, no, he says, you mean the ghosts come back, and now you got the little man. Because, of course, the second you told him to get the idea that the cat owned it or made it, you naturally had yourself this mock-up again. You call the misownership of it. Bang, came back in. So you say, all right, get the idea you made it, and the little man's gone. Well, that's very interesting, and it would lead all kinds of people into the consistent and continual belief that you ought to take the blame for everything. And then everything would go away, wouldn't it? Now, let's look at that philosophy. Do a rapid look at this philosophy. You got all these mock-ups. You got all these sins. All these dharmas and parmas. And you have a skitter gut full of lightning goes across the center field on occasion. And you say to the fellow, now look, if you will merely take the blame, if you will merely accept the fact that you are responsible for everything there is, any place, under any circumstances, you, of course, will be a well and happy man. Boy, what an operation. Numerically, the absolute maximum phenomena which a Thetan, you, would be fully responsible for would maybe be 1 over 10 to the 50th power of binary digits in this universe. You know, that's an awful small fraction. I'm talking about total universal phenomena. The amount that you would really be responsible for would be some horrendous number. One over this tremendous number of one and zero, see? This tiny fraction. So we get guys come up and, you know, I notice how gaily they dress, too. Black. And they come up and says, repent, repent, repent. Take responsibility for your sins. Because I just walked up a hell for you to fry in. And I told you, now somebody else owns it. Call the devil, not me. And so it's now permanent. And unless you accept all responsibility for the whole universe and all of your sins in it, you're going to hell. And he promptly sends you to hell right that moment, see? And you say, all right, I am now going to experience the great spiritual relief of religion. I have sinned. Yes, that's, I guess it was pretty bad too, because there's that strangled cat that I killed when I was young. Yes, I did that. I remember that. Oh no. And there's the girl when we were 13. Yes, I know, I've sure sinned. There's all the times I flunked. And there's that business failure. Hey, there's too many pictures around here. Squirt gun, black. And you say, well, I'm just like all the other parsons. Black field. Can't see a thing. It's not my blackness, it's God's. Now, you think I'm being sarcastic. You think I'm being impolite to the subject of religion. But I'm merely talking about one of the more scurrilous mechanisms of owning and misowning. See, that is really a despicable mechanism. See, I mean, if any guy's got to stoop to this mechanism to control people, he ought to quit. I mean, there's fancier ones, much better. They don't all have to do with your guilt and your sin and how horrible you've been and done and so forth, you know? A guy would do something like this. As an operation, must have a concept of his own power comparable to one grasshopper power microwatt. He must believe that he is so weak and so ineffectual that the only possible way he could go on controlling anybody would be to push everybody down into the deepest mud he could discover anywhere. And then give them an extra shove. And it was that guy who invented religion. Now, I hate to have to tell you this. But we've got to get this extreme just to control people. When we can't. When we, in the first place, think we've got to control everybody in sight, not that control is bad, but that we think we've got to control arduously everybody in sight because they are so dangerous. When we think this, we're already on the road out. And then when we have to mock up something whereby did you ever see a couple of guys threatening each other and they just get worse and worse and worse until it finally gets ridiculous? It gets utterly silly. If they had any humor left, they'd both laugh. Well, what's wonderful about this operation is that you couldn't possibly get as silly a threat as burning forever. Who's going to buy all that misownership of mock-up in the first place? That's really a silly mock-up. The plays they used to have back in England when Christianity was sweeping across England, whereby the fellow would be tempted by the devil, and then an angel would drop down through the top door of one of these little caravans, you know. And an angel would drop down on the stage platform, and he'd have a fight with the devil, and then the devil would drop through another drop door and under the wagon. That was the totality of the play. That was the beginnings of the drama which Shakespeare eventually ennobled. That's really its beginning drama. That's silly. That's silly, come to think about it. But who got this worried about controlling people? Now I ask you, who got this worried about it? Somebody must have been Yella. Think it over for a moment. If you ran a preclear for a long time, you would get him up to a point where he could invent all kinds of ways of controlling people. And it is quite interesting that one of the chief methods he would invent would be, finally, when he was in real good shape, real love, affection, communication, interchange, trust, confidence as methods of controlling. But if you caught him in a psychotic break when you started in, he'd start thinking of things like burning forever. Now let's see, a way to control people, let me see. Well, we could hire a lot of policemen and have all the men dragged in and emasculated. That's a good way. Now that'd be good. Let's see. This is a process. You can watch it running on a preclear, and you will not find a preclear so goofy. He will tell you religion, but not so goofy that he will give you a plot like that. He'll occasionally say, well, religion is a method of controlling people. I don't know how good it is. And you go on to something else. You couldn't process a preclear that was this bad off, see? I mean, he's completely out of communication, where he'd have to invent something like burning for eternity. A god that is everywhere all the time, waiting to snipe you. This is an invention. You know why it must be an invention? Give it to you right out of the proof. You can absolutely prove that this is an invention, that it isn't true. You can prove that religion isn't true. You know how you do that? You just look at his persistence. You see that? Couldn't possibly be true. It's been around too long. All right. That may sound real wild to you, but I'm trying to drive something home here. Misownership is absolutely necessary to the existence of anything. And at one time or another, a whole bunch of us guys, you know, you and me, so forth, way back on the track, you know, we kind of got together and we said, you know, one of the finest things we could do is to keep from having to mock this stuff up all the time in this physical universe. All we're going to do is we're just going to say that Bill made it. And we're all going to agree that he made it, and we know he didn't. All right. Now we're going to forget that we made this agreement. After a while, his mythical character, Bill, started to take on statutory size and shape. And it built and built and built and got bigger and bigger and bigger and more of it. And then somebody got real anxious about control and said Bill was God who could regulate the motions of everybody. And that's the genesis of religion and monotheism. A funny part of it is, if you didn't think that some exterior character to yourself and you had made things, and if you didn't think it just a little bit wrong, there wouldn't be anything here. See, you'd have to have a curve on this. Now, I call your attention to the axioms. Those of you who do not know the axioms, I'm very probably talking over your heads. The axioms are, that thing to persist must contain a lie. Now, we could state that differently and say that thing which persists must have in it an incorrect authorship. In order to get a persistence, you assign an incorrect authorship. And that is the axiom we're talking about. Now, we're also talking about the conditions of existence as isness. When we get the correct authorship, which means the correct ownership, what you really own, you have made. You see? Only the funny part of it is that if you made something, you wouldn't own it because you'd as-is it every time you'd look at it. And that's as-isness, you see? Let's take a look at this and find then that a facsimile or an engram would wash out and disappear the moment you assigned the proper creatorship. See? You'd say, my body created it, or one of its remote viewpoints created it. Whatever it is, it's gone. Just like that. Bang. I mean, there's no delay. So what I'm talking to you about is important. A long time ago, we set out to strip down the bank and take out of it unwanted memory, pictures, and impulses. Remember? And these are the pictures that drive men away from men and make men antisocial. They're also the pictures that control the body and keep things in line. A great many bad pictures and bad impulses in this, and we essayed at one time to take these out of the bank. Take them out of the reactive bank, and we knew if we did this, people would get well, they would get sane, and they would have better judgment. Do you know that every part of the religious mock-up I've been talking to you about is in the GE bank? That's why it's so effective. There are madnesses of this character scattered all over the bank. Unless we assign the proper authorship and ownership of these actual pictures, the impulse to make these pictures, unless we get where they came from, we are going to continue to have them. Now, the odd part of it is there's communication, which will actually erase them. There's perfect duplication, which erases them unsatisfactorily. They go, but mass disappears, and you miss the mass. Perfect duplication. Then it's not the answer. Communication is a long look, not too long, but a fairly long look at the answer. The communication, hellos, okays, what could you say to your father? Now, just above this process, there is the process of ownership and authorship. And that process wipes out banks faster than anything you ever saw. Boom! With no great liability to the bricklayer. So we go from the day when I became very impatient with phrenology or whatever they call the stupid stuff that they teach the more idiotic people, and got into an argument about this, about memory. How does the mind remember? Because I wanted to apply it to some engineering principles, found out nobody knew, so I had to go on and find out how the mind remembered. I had a fairly good background in this direction, having had a mystic background as well as an engineering background. It's a fairly good combination because it keeps you looking at the material universe and is still cognizant of the fact that there are possibly spirits and demons and things that go boom in the night. Most engineers simply go crazy. They say there is nothing in the world but physical universe, and I know all about that, and that puts enough lies into it. I think Black's physics puts enough lies into the physical universe to practically entomb anybody with it. All right, any engineer will know what I'm talking about. By the way, you can have an engineer find out who owns his education, and the physical universe starts to look decent. By that time, it's kind of grayed down and slewed around. All right.